Lamed Vav Tzion Alos Yishali Aryeh Sonnenberg.
Take a moment and think to yourself, what is your opinion about people who are fanatical? Fanaticism in general. Do these concepts make you uncomfortable? What do you think when you see someone who's crazy about an idea? Regardless of what the idea is, regardless of whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, how does it strike you when you see someone who looks different than you because they want to dress a certain way? Is fanaticism a positive trait, or is it perhaps a negative trait, or perhaps can it go either way? A fanatic is generally defined as someone who's marked by intense, excessive enthusiasm. Excessive doesn't sound like a very positive trait. It sounds almost annoying. Kina Lamed Vav Tzion Halos Yishali was written by Rav Yehuda Halevi Hashem Yikom Damo, who was, at least to my understanding, fanatical in a very positive way in his love for Eretz Yisrael. He was madly, deeply, head over heels in love with the land. This kina describes his fanatic love for the rain, for the soil, for the stones, each and every physical and of course the spiritual parts of Eretz Yisrael. Let's just take a look at a few of the words in the kina. Libi leves el. Beis El is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Yehuda describes that his heart yearns for the return of the Beis HaMikdash. Shom HaShchina Shechein Alach. The Shechina, the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash that was divined by Shlomo HaMelech, that's Kitchel HaShata, the Kitchel Kedusha LaSilavo. That Shechina that was there is still there today in the same place where the Beis HaMikdash was when Rav Yehuda HaLevi was yearning for it. It still sits there today. Pasach Lamul Shah Reshachak Shaharayich. From there, the Creator opened up the gates of heaven opposite the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. This perhaps is a reference to the pasuk that we'll read. We all know the Shema has this very special Hashgacha Pratis here in Eretz Yisrael. But perhaps it's a reference to the Midrash, and Rashi brings it down, that tefillos, regardless of where they're set from, they've traveled first to Har Habayis, and then from there they go to Shemayim. The gates of heaven are open against the gates of Har Habayis and the Beis HaMikdash. I'm afraid that for various reasons I can't expound more on the meaning of this actual kina, and I have an agenda, however, that I must share with you that's based on these thoughts. I want to talk very briefly about two events that share a common antagonist. Not the ones that we've spoken about until now, the Romans, the Greeks, the Spaniards, the Germans, but a much more painful attack. If any of you have ever read suspense novels or Jewish suspense novels or anything else, you know there's a very popular plot where the good guys all work together and they struggle together to reach the enemy's trying to do something, they're trying to overcome him altogether. What's always the scariest part of stories like this? It's not when the bad guys come and they destroy this or they kill people. You expect that from people. You expect an Arab in today's time to come and kill people. That's something that, it's the way they are. They're the bad people, that's why they're the bad guys. The worst part, however, the part that's most shocking, is when one of your own guys, one of the good guys, turns his back on you. In addition to the immeasurable damage that this person can cause because they were on the in, they were inside all of your planning, the worst part is the feeling of the utter betrayal on the part of these people. How could you possibly do this to us? We worked together, we were brothers, we shared everything together. How could you turn your back on us and stab us in the back with this? In our short history here in Eretz Yisrael, we have been witness to many acts of our brothers turning their backs on us. Us, the Jews of Am Yisrael, who are fanatic in our love for Eretz Yisrael and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fanatic enough, like Rav Yehuda Halevi, to leave their homelands, leave their jobs and their families, leave our friends, everything that we grew up with, in order to continue our lives serving Hashem with the rest of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Today, as we cry over the Korban, I have to just mention two of these things that happened. The first actually happened before any of us arrived here. Indeed, before many of us were even born. But the ramifications remain with us each and every day. I refer specifically to when the government of this country, who mamash like Klal Yisrael, after receiving the Torah, mamash the kima, the very next day, after being witness to the Nes Goli of the unification of Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh, and the return and the securing of Har HaBayis, gave the control of Har HaBayis, the absolutely holiest place in the world, back to the Arabs. Har HaBayis is the Lev HaUmah, it's the heart of the Jewish nation. And a nation without a heart cannot possibly function. Without our heart, the lifeblood of the nation doesn't pump. Without our heart, we are living in a form of spiritual life support. We daven and we learn and we do all these things and chesed and everything we have to do, but it's at a level that's so far away from where it's supposed to be. At least three times a day, each one of us should say, Shibana Besamita Shemheir Be'amenu, V'sein Chalkenu B'sara Secha. We've spoken before about the juxtaposition of the Torah and the Torah of the Beis HaMikdash. Without the Beis HaMikdash, without the Sanhedrin, there is no Torah. The Torah that we do learn, it is skin deep. Our mitzvahs are superficial, without a heart. I don't know if this tzushta is correct or not, but everyone's familiar with the Gemara that says that in Chutz La'aretz, whereas maybe we have a mitzvah to do mitzvahs, but it's really only practice for the real time, for when we come to do the same mitzvahs here in Eretz Yisrael. That's what our lives are like without the Beis HaMikdash. I have many things I want to share about this, but time is short and I'll have to suffice. We all say in Pesach, in the Haggadah, Al Achas Kama V'Kama, all the Tovas the Kodesh Baruch Hu did for us. What is the order of the Tovas? He took us from Mitzrayim, took us through the Yam Suf, gave us the Mon, gave us our Sinai, brought us to Eretz Yisrael. My friends, it doesn't end there. What's the ultimate final step? Bana Lanu is based on Bechira. Being in Eretz Yisrael is a beautiful thing, but you can't stop there. You have the Beis HaMikdash. We say in Moshe Rabbi Shabbos, Yiratzami Lefanecha, Shita'aleinu Li'artzeinu, Hashem, make us bizocha to make aliyah to live in Eretz Yisrael. V'sita'aleinu Bikvaleinu, and we should bizocha to stay here and remain in its borders. But that's not enough. V'nakriv Lefanecha es korbanos chatosenu. Without the Beis HaMikdash, it's a body without a heart. This longing for the Korbanos and for the Beis HaMikdash, it must be a goal of each and every one of us, each person on their own level. We cannot allow ourselves to be content with the incredible accomplishment that we've all made. It's just not enough. I encourage all of you, and I encourage myself. You look at me perhaps as a fanatic in certain areas, but when I compare myself to people that I've met this week, people like Rav Dov Lior Shlita and Rav Yisrael Ariel and many others like them, I'm a leftist in their steps. I encourage you all to find some way to get more involved at your own level. learn something about what the avoda should be in our advice. Maybe it means learning Mishnayos Kodshim or Seder Kodshim, about the korbanos or the physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash, or the meaning of the korbanos of the Beis HaMikdash, what each korban was supposed to do. Maybe it means that each person here has a responsibility to ask their Rav, what do you think about going up to Har HaBayis? You may just be surprised with the Rav's answer. Tzion Hidoresh Einla Michlal Devoy Derishin. We learn from here that there is a requirement, each person has a requirement to be Dorish Tzion. I encourage you all to find your way. I mentioned the words V'sita'edo B'Gvaleinu. We ask Hashem to plant us permanently within our borders. The second event that I must speak about is the expulsion from Gush Katif, where we were punished as a klal at the hands of our own brothers by other Jews, people who turned their back. This week, the show hosted a presentation from Mati Sender, a man who, if you saw him, probably would think that you had nothing to do with him. Looks like a typical oldish, old-fashioned Israeli with a big mustache and sandals, no socks. A man who, together with his wife and his children, was expelled from Gush Katif. This coming Tuesday, 2 days from now, it will be exactly 7 years to the day when they were forced from home. Mati moved to the Moshav of Katif in 1978, shortly after they got married. They were supposed to be there temporarily until their permanent yeshuv was going to be open. They also had their former Mesiras Nefesh, just like we all did when we made Aliyah. There were no roads, there were no sidewalks, the place was a sand dune. It was literally a sand dune. They moved into a desert. You look across the road and you see trees, and where the building were Matbet Shemesh Gimel, there was nothing there. There was no birds, there were no trees, there was nothing. It was a sand dune. Even the Arabs who lived in the area, they thought the Jews were nuts. What are they going to a sand dune for? How can they possibly do anything there? They couldn't grow anything. The Senders and the other families were Moser and Nefesh to the nth degree in order to settle the land. Fanatics of a sort. We all moved here, and nothing can compare to the conditions that these families moved to when they made a decision to inhabit the sand dunes of Gush Katif. Many of us were zocheh to visit the Gush before it was destroyed. There were 21 yeshuvim there that were all blossoming. Their hot houses were internationally acclaimed for their produce. They were known worldwide for their incredible chesed, the tons and tons of food that they gave away for gemachim and everything. It was a mif'al of chesed. In 2004, one of our own announced the removal of all the Jews from Gush Katif. It was a bombshell. It was literally like thunder on a clear day. What happened? How could the same person who he himself had been in Gush Katif and said, you'll stay here forever, how could this own person, the same, our own person, turned and drastically changed the decision? It wasn't as if the Arabs came and destroyed the communities. The pain and the hurt are increased tenfold by the fact that it was one of our own who had been chosen as the messenger for this evil decree. Mati Sender's story will never end. There will never be a happy ending. until he and all of his family had returned together with all the residents of Gush Katif. But in the meantime, in their temporary location, they live in a yishuv of the new Gan Eitel, which actually is only 25 minutes from here. Baruch Hashem, they now have a place they can finally call home. Temporary. Mati told us a short story about his daughter Leah, who shortly after moving into their current house, after over 6 years of not having a place to call home, she told her father that her Birkas HaMazon has now changed. She was finally able to say the words, Arachman, but you've already said me. Baal HaBayis HaSeh. My father. My father finally has a home again. But he has another son, another child, Shmulik. He hasn't yet found his happy ending. Shmulik grew up also in Gush Katif. And when he was young, he started working together in the fields with his father in their agricultural business. After being thrown out of their homes, Shmulik and his young family finally settled in the area of Lachish, which is also very close to here, only 35 minutes from here, towards Kiryat Gat, very near the yeshuv of Negohot. Shmulik set out to restart his life from there, to rebuild his family, to rebuild his business. But perhaps even more importantly, Shmulik was also Moser Nefesh to the nth degree for the new community, to help and to enable hundreds of families to be able to make their homes in Mirtz Hashem in that community. Shmulik was a fanatic. He did crazy things. He was Moser Nefesh for the klal. And even though he was experienced in agriculture and he had been very successful in Gush Katif, after sinking so much of his time and his resources into the new area, the pashut didn't grow. The earth in Lachish responds differently than the earth in Gush Katif. The trade that Shmulik has learned as his Girsa di Ankusa wasn't working in this strange land. He tried to be a pioneer like his father, but his whole business was destroyed. And Shmulik Sender is now wallowing in a debt of over 600,000 shekel, due in no part to his own fault. His father told me that this debt is destroying his son. His mom is destroying him. I'm sure many people here have felt their own financial stress. How am I going to pay next month's mortgage of a few thousand shekel? How am I going to be able to make the car payment or the house payment or whatever it is? Shmulik has creditors knocking on his door for 600,000 shekel. Think of the incredible emotional stress. Think of the incredible physical stress it's placing on Shmulik and his family. I've known Mati since right before the Girush. And when he called me to tell me about Shmulik, asked me if I could help him, my first thought was, I promised myself no more projects. I have so much on my plate, I cannot possibly take anything else on. But I told Mati I cannot say no. There was no way I could turn down his plea for assistance. The Rebbe has spoken many times about the responsibility for the destruction of Gush Katif falling squarely at all parts of the klal. He has called for a national beg of forgiveness from those who were wronged. But how do you do this? Who's going to represent the Klal? And who's going to represent Gush Katif on the other side and possibly say that we're forgiven? I feel in some way that by assisting this one prat of the Klal, by assisting Shmuel Alexander and his family, those people who we all turned our backs on, perhaps that will be a small kapara for the tremendous injustice that was done to this incredible group of Mosrei Nefesh fanatics. I have put out some sheets about how to help Shmulik and his family. If you want to, and if I would recommend that get double schar by doing something today on a tainus. Agra de tainus o tzidkasa. There's a special schar of giving tzedakah on the tainus. But you can also make donations online. You can give donations to myself or to Daniel Michaels. And I just want to end with a short tefillah. Kodesh Baruch Hu should view the financial sacrifices that we make for this family as a kapara for us, and perhaps as a way to save us from any future such tragedies, chalila, and as a sign of acceptance of our plea for forgiveness. Zion halos yishalim.